give you the glory ahead of time for every blessings you have prepared for each one of us in your presence here today. You know us, and you know your thoughts concerning us, as Bible says. You know how to bring us to your expected end in all aspects of life. And right from the outset, we surrender to you this morning. And as we approach your word, we thank you that you will speak to us that which will help our faith to connect with your power here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth as the Father has prepared for us here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Psalm 146. Let's quickly read together the whole chapter, and then we are going to focus on some of the verses here in order to reflect on what God wants us to see out of the holy written word this morning. So let's go. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And we say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's begin to look very closely at this passage of scripture from verse 3. It doesn't matter what our needs may be here this morning. God has the supply for us all. What no man can do for us, God is able to do for us. And as Christians, we have to understand clearly that we have the advantage in every area of life because of God. Because of God. Just because of God. Not because of ourselves, but because of God. And it's high time we began to really look to God more steadfastly, particularly in these last days. Because as we draw to the close of the age, as Bible says, there's going to be more and more times of hardship in this world. Perilous times, Bible says, will come. But for us who are Christians, we have already overcome the world just because of God who is on our side. So whatsoever things may be happening in the world don't have dominion over us. We have already overcome every challenge that the devil will bring against humanity in this world. And the key for us to walk in that overcoming grace is to look to God and God alone. We cannot defeat the devil by using carnal means. We cannot overcome the devil's strategy by relying on our own human efforts. That is the truth we all have to know as Christians, because every effort that we put into things without allowing God to be the one helping us out will always come to nothing at the end of the day. In fact, put your finger right there in Psalm 146. We are coming back to it. Turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You see, we just have to know who we are as Christians, and we have to know who is on our side. God is on our side. We are God's people. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We are God's own children. We have already overcome the world through Jesus Christ, and we have to learn how to live our lives here on earth by absolute reliance on God. As long as we rely on God, we will always win. God never promised us that challenges won't come our ways. As long as we are in this world, we will be faced with challenges from time to time. But God has promised us victory, just as we already heard this morning from the senior pastor. We have already been promised victory by God himself in Christ Jesus. And we just have to look to him, from whom our help comes indeed. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Please underline that in your Bible. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. You see, the reason why the Bible says we are in a warfare here, again, we saw that while the senior pastor was leading the prayers this morning, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible says there was war in heaven. The devil started the war. He rebelled against God. He decided to make himself what God did not make him to be. And in doing that, he violated God's own plan for his creation. And Archangel Michael had to rise up against the rebellion of Lucifer then. He was called Lucifer. But after his rebellion, his name, of course, was changed from Lucifer to Satan. The word Satan means an adversary. Lucifer originally was the creation of God. He was one of the most beautiful of God's creation, because he was the anointed cherub, Bible says, and he was the one leading worship in heaven. And pride got into him, and he decided to try and aspire to what God had not purposed for him to attain to. And so Archangel Michael fought against the devil and cast him out of heaven. And so he came to this earth with that same anger, and he decided to take the place of dominion here on earth, and that was why he tricked man, so to say, into disobedience and got man to lose the authority that he had over the earth. And as long as the devil is in this world, is going to rule the system of the world, but not rule the world in terms of creation, because God is Lord over all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the devil is responsible for the evil system of the world. Now, you and I as Christians, we are in the world, we are not of the world, and therefore we have our own, so to say, area of influence in this world, whereby we can always overcome the plans of the devil. And that's what Bible is teaching us here. There was war in heaven. The devil was cast out of heaven. He came to the earth with fury. But now that he's here on earth and we are on the earth, we have the dominion over him because of Jesus Christ, who has already defeated him for us. And as long as we rely on God's own weapons, we will always have victory in every area of life. Say to your neighbor, you have the capacity to experience victory in all aspects of your life as long as you rely on God. Amen. So the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not fleshly, they are not man-made, but they are mighty through God. In other words, we have to learn to exercise our weapons, so to say, through God. And we shall see how to do that very clearly this morning. All right, let's go back to Psalm 146. So the first thing for us to realize is that our help comes from God. And so there is no point beating about the bush. There is no point wasting time seeking for help in other places. We have to focus on God and trust in Him never to fail us. Verse 3 again says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Well, God cannot lie. If God says there is no help in man, don't think there is a man that can help you. We all know that God cannot lie. We all know that God is perfect in knowledge. So if I think I can go to a particular man to help me, I'm wasting my time. The man may have good intentions. The man may really want to help me, but because he's a man, he's limited. He doesn't have the capacity to do all things. We all know that sometimes somebody may promise you something today. He may say, okay, come by this time next month, I'll help you with your need. And then you have confidence in what he has said, and you are looking forward to next month. And then the day he gives to you to come, you get there on that day, and there is bad news for you. Maybe they say, oh, sorry, the man has been taken ill and he has been rushed to the hospital. He's now on life support machine. He can't help you anymore. What are you going to do? Or maybe you get there and they say, oh, sorry, the man passed away last week. What are you going to do? The man really wants to help you, but somehow the help has failed because he's a man. He's not there forever. He's here today, gone tomorrow. And sometimes you find some people, they may even still be alive, but circumstances have changed. When they promised you the help, they were in a position to help you, but now they are no longer in a position to help you. So they will say, I'm sorry, because of circumstances beyond my control, I'm no longer able to do what I promised you. I'm so sorry for disappointing you. But you see, what are you going to do now? You've put all your hope in the man. And now that hope has been disappointed because man really cannot help us. We all need God to help us all. And coming down to what many of us really can identify with, you know, sometimes you go to the GP, you go to the doctor's place, and you want him to help you with your sickness, and he runs the diagnosis, and he says, well, you have this particular disease, but I'm so sorry to say that the sickness is incurable. We just don't have any cure for this sickness, and you just have to live with it for the limited number of years you still have left, because most people that have this sickness, they die before certain age, and it's such a pity, we can't help you. So what are you going to do now as a Christian? You've been to the GP. He says he can't help you. Are you going to just say, well, that's the end of my life? Or are you going to remember where your help is coming from? Because the GP is a man just like yourself. He doesn't know everything. None of us knows everything. He doesn't have all ability, just like you and I don't have all ability. But God has all abilities, and God has power to do all things. Things that are impossible for us as men, Bible says they are possible with God. So if we put our trust in the GP, We may die before our time. But if we put our trust in God, God knows how to cure us of the sickness that the GP says is incurable. Say to your neighbor, God is still the miracle working God. There is nothing he cannot do for you if you trust him. Amen. So again, the key is not to put trust in man. Verse 4 says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Please underline that in your Bible. The God of Jacob. Why did the Bible say the God of Jacob here? It is to help us understand that God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a God who never fails to keep his promises. Every time you read in the Bible and you see expressions like God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, that is to help you understand that God is a covenant-keeping God. Because when he called Abraham, he made a covenant with him. And after Abraham, he continued the covenant with Isaac. And after Isaac, he continued the covenant with Jacob. Now, put your finger there. Let's just see one example. Turn quickly to Genesis chapter 28. So, we are serving a God that is so faithful that we can rely on him absolutely at all times and forget about what we think in our own human understanding and just rely on what God has said. Because God never fails to keep his word. He never fails to keep his word. Every other thing may fail all around us. Even this world will fail, but the word of God will never fail. Why? Because God is faithful. And if you just trust in him, you will see the fulfillment of his word in your life and in your circumstances. Now look at what God said here in Genesis chapter 28 to Jacob. We all know the account. When you get home, you can study it more. But God appeared to Jacob here in a dream. He revealed certain things to him. I'll pick it from verse 10 so we can get it in a bit of context, but where we are going is verse 15. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now let us read verse 15 together. Let's go. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all thy places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Please notice that last phrase there. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I will not leave thee until I have done. In other words, I'm not going to leave you until I have fulfilled my promise to you. And that is the same God you and I are serving today. God will never leave you until he has fulfilled his promises to you. If you will just believe him and trust in him. If you find the promises of God in the Holy Scriptures that apply to your need, and you release your faith in those promises, God will surely perform those promises for you. He will never fail to perform His word. So God revealed Himself to Jacob as the one that will keep him and will never let go of him until he had fulfilled his promises concerning him. So say to yourself, God will never fail me. I just need to trust in Him. Now say to someone next to you, God will never fail you. You just need to trust in Him. Amen. Let's go back to Psalm 146. So we see God revealing Himself to Jacob as the one who will never fail him, but will ensure that his promises were fulfilled in his life. Now, verse 5 again, Psalm 146. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, the God who never fails to keep promises. Let's just put it that way. Happy is anyone that has the God who never fails to keep promises as a source of help. Why? Because He will help you, so you'll be happy. You may be in trouble today, but I tell you, tomorrow, the trouble would have become history in your life. And you'll be rejoicing in the salvation of God in that area of your life. You see, the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The night does not remain forever. The night is just the period when you are going through the hardship. But if you look to God, God knows how to bring you out of the hardship and give you a testimony for His glory. This is the same God that brought Daniel out of the lion's den. This is the same God that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He has power to do miraculous things, if need be. But you just have to trust in Him, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The only thing God demands from us is our faith, our believing and trusting in Him that He will surely do what He has promised to do in His word, and He will never fail. As long as we can do that, God will do the rest. He's not asking us to do anything on our own. He's not even asking us to try and make His word come to pass by our human effort, because none of us can do that. Absolutely none of us can make the word of God come to pass by our own human effort. It is the same God that made the promise that has the power to perform it. Your own duty is to believe Him and expect Him to do what He has said. No matter how long it may seem to be taking, wait for God patiently. He will never fail you. God said to Jacob, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled every promise that I've made to you. So Jacob, wait for the fulfillment. Oh, when will it be? Forget about the time. Just trust God. God knows how to make everything beautiful in His own time. God doesn't work in our own time frame. God is not limited to 24-hour clock. A day is like 1,000 years with God. God knows how to intercept time in this natural realm in order to fulfill His word in your life. You just trust Him and expect Him not to fail you. That's all. All right. So, back to Psalm 146. Again, verse 5 says, happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And at this juncture, I want to encourage every one of us, no matter what your need may be here this morning, you may just immediately begin to set your focus on God. Perhaps you've been thinking about, you know, getting help on your own, trying to sort things out in your own way. Well, it's time for you to cease from your own human effort and say, let God be God in my life. Let God be God. God who never fails. God who never fails. And you can begin to declare to Him and say, Lord, I look to You for help. And my hope is in You. I hope in you. And we shall see how to do that very precisely in a short while, because we don't just come out of the blues and set our hope on God just by wishing. You know, in the world, when they hope for things, all they have is just a wish. I wish it will be so. They are not certain. But for us as Christians, when we hope in God, our hope is certain, because our hope is based on His word. We don't come up with our own idea. We go to the word, we receive the word of hope, and we base our faith in the word of hope, and God, who keeps His promises, will bring it to pass. So our hope will become a reality in due season. All right, verse 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is. In other words, the God we are looking to for help is the God who created everything. So if God created the whole universe as we see it today, so what is your need that God cannot help you with? Imagine the vastness of the universe, the galaxies that man has not even been able to explore. Even scientists, they are in awe of the galaxies. They don't know everything about it. Every day they are discovering new stars. They don't even know how many are there. And yet God created every one of them. And God created you, created the vegetation, created everything, even the air we breathe. None of us have seen here before. But we breathe in and out every moment of the day in order to stay alive. God put what is called a heart inside of us, and that heart keeps pumping blood even without us thinking about it. It keeps beating every moment to sustain life. We don't even think about it. This God that we serve is an awesome God. The God who created so much orderliness that we see all around us. So what is your need compared to God's creation? You see, that's why it is important we just reflect on the word of God. And it will help us to have faith in Him. God who created the heavens and the earth is the one we are looking to for help. He created the sea and all the things that are in the sea. All the various kinds of fishes that are in the sea and the animals that live in the sea. God created all of them. So what is my need that He cannot help me with? And then, please underline the last part of verse 6, which keepeth truth forever. Please underline that. And that's what we are going to be focusing on this morning. God who keeps truth forever. He keeps truth forever. But before we come to that, let's read on and see again the attributes of God to encourage our faith in Him. Verse 7 says, He executes judgment for the oppressed. In other words, God is a God of justice. If anybody tries to oppress you, you don't need to fight on your own. Look to God and call to Him for justice. Because He executes, Bible says, judgment for the oppressed. Hallelujah. And who giveth food to the hungry? You see, God is such a good God. He knows how to provide for the needy. And He looseth the prisoners. God knows how to set the captives free. And it's not just talking about physical prisons here. You know, God can set His people free when they are in prison for the sake of the gospel. Obviously, He does that. But He's talking primarily of spiritual imprisonment. You know, the devil has a way of trying to rob us of what we should be having. It tries to put barriers against us. It tries to hinder us from making progress in various aspects of life. So it sets up prison system in the realm of the spirit just to limit people here and there. And that's why Jesus, Bible says, has come with the anointing upon Him to open the prison doors. and set the captives free. You may not know the things the devil has done against you in the realm of the spirit, but Jesus knows how to set you free. You just look to him. Again, God looseth the prisoners. It sets them free. And in verse 8, he opened the eyes of the blind. Well, we know again God opens people's eyes that are physically blind, but also he opens eyes that are spiritually blind. So when you begin to study the Bible, like the psalmist said, Lord, open my eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. You can say, oh God, I look to you for understanding. As I read the Bible, as I study it, Lord, give me understanding. Open my eyes to see what I need to see, that I may understand your word and walk in it. You see, these are things we have to look to God for. Don't think you can know the Bible on your own. If God doesn't teach you, if he doesn't open your eyes to see, you can read this Bible for the next 100 years and still not understand anything in it. But when you begin to approach the word of God with that understanding that God is the one that will teach you, and you say, Lord, open my eyes to see, you will begin to see it as God wants you to see it. Even the disciples of Jesus, remember, those two that were on the road to Emmaus, as the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, they did not even understand all the things that Jesus taught them while he was alive. Now he's dead and he's risen and he's walking along the road with them. They did not even know that that was Jesus, and they were looking at him as a stranger. And Bible says it began to open their understanding to the scriptures, beginning from the books of Moses to through all the prophets in the Bible. It showed them, Bible says, all the things in all the scriptures concerning himself. And that was the time their eyes were opened. So say to your neighbor, you need Jesus to open your eyes to understand his word. Without him opening your eyes, you are blind to the truth. Amen. And so that's the truth. We are all blind to the truth unless God opens our eyes to see. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raised them that are bowed down. So when you are under pressure, remember, God is there to raise you up. When the pressures of life try to overwhelm you in any aspect, don't lose hope. Don't be disheartened. Remember, God knows how to raise up those that are bowed down. Don't look for people to pity you either. Because when you are down, those who come around you to just pity you, they are really not helping you. They are just trying to palliate your emotions. But at the end of the day, the problem is still there, you see. What you need is a solution to the problem. Not just somebody to pity you and the problem is still there. So they may hang around you for a while. When they go, you are still in the problem yourself, you see. But when you look to the one that can lift you out of the problem, praise God, then you have the victory. And God is the one that does that for us all. He is the one we all need to look to when the pressures of life come against us. Verse 9 says, the Lord preserved the strangers. He relieved the fatherless and widow. In other words, no matter our condition, no matter the disadvantages we have in our lives individually, God is there to be our sufficiency. We can look to him. Instead of sitting down and complaining, oh, I'm just an orphan. I wish my father was still alive. I wish my mother was still alive. Oh, I have so much disadvantages. Oh, I don't have anybody to help me. Oh, quit talking like that. Don't talk like that. God is your help. Look to him. He knows how to make the difference in your life better than anyone else can ever do. It's time for us as the church to focus on where our help is coming from. And that is God himself. Now back to verse 6 and then get your pen and paper. just going to give you some points to take home and meditate in. Verse 6 again says, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Which keepeth truth forever. Which keepeth truth forever. Truth, of course, we know as its origin from God and God alone. You will never find truth without God. Because truth is constant. Truth is not based on the opinion of any man. Truth never changes. Truth is eternal. And truth is the word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17. You don't need to turn there. Jesus prayed that God may set us apart as the church. Sanctify us as the church by the truth. And he helps us to understand that the truth is the word of God. Say to your neighbor, the truth is the word of God. That is why it is constant. It never changes. Your circumstances may change, but truth remains the same. Amen. For instance, when you open in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53, it will be saying exactly the same thing it has been saying even before you were born, whether you are sick or not. So before you were sick, it will be saying by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. And if you are sick, it will still be saying the same thing. So your situation may change, but the word of God is still the same. Now, if we begin to focus on what never changes, then our circumstances also can become stable. God wants us to have a stable life, not up today, down tomorrow. And the key to stability in our lives is to focus on the truth that never changes. Hallelujah. So God keepeth truth forever. That's why God has this attribute about himself as the God who keeps truth forever. The word keep there literally means to protect something in order to ensure that its integrity is always the way it should be. So God protects his word to ensure that his word never loses integrity. That's why we can trust in God at all times. Because his word is always the word of integrity. And the key to God protecting or guarding or preserving his word to ensure that it never loses its integrity is performance. It performs the word. That's why we can say God never fails, because we know he always performs his word. God keepeth truth forever. He protects his word. He preserves his word. He guards it to ensure that it never loses integrity. You know how it is? For instance, if as men, we keep promising each other certain things, but we never deliver. After a while, people don't count your word anymore. If, for instance, I say to you, oh, bro, please wait at home for me tomorrow. I'll be right at your home 1 p.m. tomorrow. And then you wait. I never turn up. And then the next week I say, oh, wait for me 2 p.m. tomorrow. I'll be there. And I never turn up. The next time I say, wait for me, you just go out and you won't even count my word as anything. Why? Because my word is no good. No integrity. I never keep the promise. I make promises, I don't keep them. So my word is no good. In fact, when I tell you something next time, you don't even mind me. Say, don't mind that guy. If he tells you he's going to do something, he will never do it. Well, you know, God is not like that. When God tells you he will do something, you can count on him to deliver. And that is why his word is the truth. He protects the integrity of his word by himself. His word will never fail. God is truth. His word is truth. Because with all that he is, he protects his word. He will back up his word with everything that he is. His word will never fall to the ground unfulfilled. He said in Isaiah, just as the rain, Isaiah 55, as the rain that comes from heaven to the earth and the snow that comes from heaven to the earth, and they don't go back up to heaven without watering the earth in order to produce food for the farmer. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return back to me void, But it will prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it, and it will accomplish the purpose for which I send it. This is God vouchsafing his word for us to be able to rely on him, because his word is a word of integrity. So God keeps, he guards, he protects, he preserves his word forever. And the way he does that is by ensuring he always performs it when he finds a people that trust in him to do exactly that. Alright, please write this down so you can meditate on it later. Knowing that God keeps truth or his word at all times helps us to understand that if we will simply make a choice to believe the truth and live by it, no matter the circumstances in our lives, God will surely keep us and give us victory in those circumstances. In other words, a personal understanding of this truth about the nature of God being one who keeps truth or keeps his word forever will help me as an individual, as a believer in Christ. Knowing this simple truth about God, this character of God as the God who keeps his word forever, will help me to learn to believe that God will keep me in my difficult situations of life. And it will give me the victory in them if I will choose to believe his word and act upon it. That's all. Because it keeps truth forever, Bible says. So if I'm in the truth, what's going to happen to me? God will keep me also. Because it keeps truth. So if I find myself in the truth, God will keep me because it keeps truth. He will guard me in that situation. He will put an hedge around me. He will say to the devil, enough, enough, take your hands off of him. Enough, take your hands off of me, off of him, because he has run to me for refuge. He's in my truth, and I protect my truth. Hallelujah. You see how we can put ourselves in the place of victory? By just choosing to believe the word of God and act upon it. Just live by it. Hallelujah. Now, how do we do that? Please write this down. Four key things we need to do with the truth. Well, this is just our own responsibility. God never fails on his own side. And if we fail on our own side, we are the ones shortchanging ourselves. Having the Bible is one thing. Knowing what to do with this Bible is another. A soldier may have a rifle. Thank God he has a rifle. But if he doesn't know how to use the rifle, he's a useless soldier. He has a rifle. He can show off his rifle. Look at me, soldier. This is my rifle. But do you know how to use it? And he looks at it like a treasure. No, that rifle is not a treasure. It's a weapon to use. Some of us treasure the Bible. We put it on the shelf. Ah, this is my Bible. Dust. Don't touch my Bible. Dust. No. You dust it every day. But that's no good to you. Putting it on the shelf is not going to help you. You have to open it and read it and study it and get what is in it into your heart and begin to do it. So we need to learn to apply the word of God to our lives and profit thereby. So four things we need to do with the truth of the word of God in order to ensure that God keeps us and gives us victory no matter what our need may be. Number one is to believe the truth with all our hearts. Say to your neighbor, no room for doubting. Because God never fails to keep his word. Let's turn quickly to Romans chapter 4, verse 21 for that. The first thing you need to do as a believer or as a Christian is to believe the truth. You have to study the Bible, you see. You have to find out what the Word of God says and choose to believe what the Bible says rather than your own experiences. If I'm sick, I'm not going to believe the sickness. I'm going to believe the healing. Do I doubt the fact that I'm sick? No, I don't doubt the fact that I'm sick. But sickness is not my portion according to the Word of God. Therefore, I refuse to settle for that sickness in my life. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith by holding on to the promise of God that with the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, and I'm expecting the sickness to leave my body and be replaced with the truth of God, which is healing for me. That's what we are saying. You have to believe the word. Don't believe your feelings. Don't believe your intellect. Believe the Bible. The Bible is the truth. Everything that contradicts the truth in your life is the lie of the devil, disguised as something natural. Well, everybody goes through it. You just have to take it also. Well, your name is not everybody. You better say, devil, no. My name is not everybody. My case is different. You know how it is? Everybody just takes the flu in the flu season. And everybody is expecting to have the flu. So everybody gets it. Oh, flu is on the way. I'm going to have it too. Eh? No, you better say, no. My case is different. Flu, you are not my portion. Jesus delivered me over 2,000 years ago. Therefore, I'm not going to get the flu in Jesus' name. And I tell you, flu won't come near you. Flu won't come near you. So don't say everybody gets it. It's natural. It's normal. It's something that everybody gets. So you just have to take it like that also. I mean, it's just normal. Why bother? Just take it like that. Are you different? Are you not a human being like everybody else? Well, that's the devil lying to you. Because the truth is not flu. The truth is what the devil is doing. The truth is the healing that God has promised you. So you better just say, praise God, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then God will keep you. You see, because he keeps truth forever. You see the key? When you make the right choice, you then get yourself into the hand of God, and God will never fail you. Just choose to believe the word. Forget about what others are saying. Forget about your intellect. Forget about your feelings. Just believe the word. Romans chapter 4. Thank God for the truth that makes us free. We have to know it for ourselves, you see. And then we'll walk in liberty from the lies of the devil. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded. Again, this is talking about Abraham, the father of faith, and how he lived by the kind of faith that was necessary for him to get Isaac, you know, which was the promise of God in his life. And being fully persuaded, please, underline your Bible, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded means no room for doubt. So what do I do then as a Christian if I still have some form of doubt, which every one of us goes through many times, because you're not just going to wake up and just have 100% assurance. It doesn't matter how spiritual we get. There will be certain situations that come our way that will shake even our faith to the core. You even find yourself trembling like this. Even though you say you're a man of faith. Because when you are faced with some challenge, you see, the devil is a strategist. The devil is not going to come against you with a little problem if he knows that you are a giant of faith. You see, don't underestimate the devil. You know, even you and I, as parents, for instance, you are not going to give a puzzle. If you really want to get your child busy, maybe you need to do something and you want to keep that child busy, you're not going to give that child a puzzle that he can easily solve, because before long he will come back and disturb you. You have to find a difficult one that will engage him for a long time. I said, now sit down, try and put this together. You know, that child is going to be there for hours, so you have time to do your work. But if you give him an easy one, before you turn your back, he says, hey, I've done it. Huh? So when the devil comes against us, when he knows that you are a giant of faith in quotes, he'll come with you will come against you with a giant problem. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. But whatever way it comes, as long as we abide in the truth, we win. Just abide in the truth, you win. And being fully persuaded, that's just the key. All your heart, believe what God says. Don't lean on your own human understanding. If we back up to verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, when we allow unbelief or doubt into our hearts, we'll waver. Where the word of God is concerned, we are not so sure anymore. But if we allow our hearts to be fully persuaded, how do we do that? It's simply by taking the same scripture that promises your need and meditating in it until every doubt disappears. It may take weeks. It may even take months. But if you just pay the price, you get to the place of full persuasion. And you have the victory. Because God needs full persuasion in your heart. That is genuine faith. You can't say you have faith in God and then you have doubt also. That's not genuine faith. So he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's the key. You have to get yourself in every area of need, you have to get yourself to believe what God has promised concerning that need. And not only to believe it, but to believe that God will do it for you. And so you settle it once and for all, and it will come to pass. Secondly, write this scripture and look at it on your own. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. There again, Paul said something similar to that. He was fully persuaded in God that he had trusted him, that he will keep him and keep everything about him until the day of Christ. That's powerful faith. Number two thing you need to do with truth is to pray with the truth. Say to your neighbor, you have to pray with the word of God when you have a need. Amen. So the first thing you do when you have a need is to get your Bible out. Not to call friends or run up and down and look for man to help you. No, that's not the first thing. Because if you are doing that, you're wasting time. The first thing is get your Bible out. Find out what the promise of God says about that need. And then you begin to get your heart to focus on that. Rather than the need, begin to focus on that word. Meditate on it. Get fully persuaded. And then begin to pray with it. And say, God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and I believe you, O God, that you are my healer. The GP said, it's incurable, but I don't go by the word of the GP. I believe the report of the Lord, not the report of the doctor. And I thank you for my healing in Jesus' name. Amen. So you have to pray with the truth. You have to pray with the truth. Turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 170. And then add in front of that word, pray with the truth, add the key word, perseveringly. Because many of us make the mistake of just getting up, saying one little prayer. And then after we get up from the place of prayer, we don't see a change. We just give up. Well, you have to pray perseveringly. Jesus taught us the key to prayer that is successful. And the key is perseverance. He taught it all through scriptures in Luke chapter 11. Remember, he taught about the prayer of importunity in Luke chapter 18. He talked about the same prayer that never gives up, giving us the example of the widow woman and the unjust judge. And here, the psalmist also helps us to see from the perspective of perseverance when it comes to praying with the word of God. Verse 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Please underline the key word supplication there. Supplication is not just talking about casual prayer. Supplication, every time you find supplication in your Bible, is talking about intense prayer that is continual until it gets a result. And that doesn't mean you should just lie down there for 24 hours. It simply means you are not going to give up until you get the answer. Sometimes it may take years or months. But just keep praying it and thanking God. Because you are not going to give up on God's word. And it will surely come to pass. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. So he's praying according to the word of God. And he's giving all intensity to his prayer according to the word of God. Also, write the second scripture and look it up on your own. Psalm 145 verse 18. So you pray perseveringly with the word of God. Number three thing you need to do with the truth, if you want God to keep you as the God who keeps truth forever, is to praise the truth. You praise the truth. Why? Because God himself is truth. You get his word and begin to praise his word, because in praising the word of God, you are praising him as the God who never fails to keep his word. Turn with me quickly to Psalm 56. You see, the word of God is there for us all, but we have to learn how to use it profitably. Don't just have a Bible. Don't just read the Bible for reading's sake. Do something with the promises there. Believe the promises. Pray the promises. Praise the promises that you find in the word of God. And number four, we shall see in a short while. But look at verse Psalm 56. Verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. I love that. If you are a Christian, this is what you should be doing. Rather than complaining. You know, it's so easy for us to complain all day long. Just get up and complain about everything that is going wrong in our lives. But God expects us as Christians to get up in the midst of our trouble and praise his promises. For instance, if I'm in a situation I don't know what to do, and everybody is saying, well, everybody is confused. There's confusion all over the place. Instead of me joining them and saying, well, I'm confused too. I say, no, I'm not confused. I'm going to praise God in his word. Why? Because God is my wisdom. He will guide me and I will know what to do. So I'm not going to say I'm confused. I'm going to get up and say, praise God, the God of wisdom, who gives wisdom to all those who ask of him. I ask you of wisdom and I ask in faith in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you give to me, for you do not upbraid. Then you have wisdom. You know what to do. Others are confused, but you know what to do. Why? Because you are praising his word. You are not going by your intellect. You are depending on the word of God. So the psalmist said, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. Say to your neighbor, praise the word of God. Amen. And the way to do it is simply take that scripture, put it on your lips, and take it back to God to magnify his name as the God who will perform it for you. And finally, number four thing you need to do with truth is to think upon it exclusively. Say to your neighbor, think upon the word of God only. Don't think upon your troubles. Don't think upon the need. Think upon the promises. The need is a lie. The word of God is the truth. God keeps the truth forever. So think upon the truth. Amen. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Okay, for point number 3, I forgot to give you this additional scripture. Psalm 34 verse 1. Please add that to Psalm 56 verse 10 that we just read. There, the psalmist simply said he will praise the Lord at all times. In other words, no matter the situation, just praise God. Don't complain. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. So praise God continually. Don't stop praising God. Now, you have to think upon the word of God exclusively. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 as we close. You see, We all have this tendency to allow our thoughts to just go haywire. But we have to learn to discipline ourselves in our thought processes. If we don't learn to do so, the devil will always get us to think against the truth. And as long as we are thinking against the truth, God cannot keep us, because he only keeps truth forever. You see, the devil knows who we are as Christians. The devil knows he has no authority over us. So what he tries to do is to get us to violate the word of God ourselves. Because he knows that as long as we are not in faith, we are not pleasing God, and God can't help us. That's why the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So we need wisdom. And simply discipline yourself to think in line with what the word of God says. No matter what your need may be, don't focus on the need. Focus on the word of God. As long as you are meditating on the word and thinking upon it, you will always win, because God will be right there to keep you in that situation. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. But I'm going to read it from verse 6 so we can get it in context. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Things that are true. Things that are praiseworthy. Things that are virtuous. Things that have good report. So if you go to the GP and they give you bad report, don't think on the bad report. Think on the good report of God. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Think on the good report of God. With God, all things are possible. Think on the good report of God, that if you can believe, all things are possible unto him that believes. Don't leave the GP surgery sad and sorrowful. And then a fellow Christian sees you on the way, you can't even say hello to them anymore, because you are thinking upon the report. Oh, the GP said, I only have 1 month left to live. GP said, is GP your God? And now you are sad. The devil just got you. Why don't you go up and say, oh, I'm just coming from the GP. GP gave me a bad report, but praise God, I'm not thinking upon that. I'm thinking on the good report. God said I should think on the good report. Jesus took that sickness from me over 2,000 years ago, and I'm about to witness another miracle. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, the devil will pack his sickness and run away from you. I say, this is a dangerous Christian. He's not going to allow me to put this on him. But if you just accept what the devil offers you, they will say, yeah, just take it. Just go and write your will now. You're about to die. Say to your neighbor, think on what is good. And in addition to that, please write this scripture and look it up on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Their Bible simply says we should discipline ourselves to think thoughts that are in line with obedience to Christ. Christ is the word of God. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Don't allow your thoughts to drift away from the word of God. Once you see yourself thinking thoughts of failure, stop immediately and say, hey, stop that, devil. I'm not a failure. I'm a success in Christ. And when you begin to think thoughts of fear, stop that immediately and say, hey, no, that's not my portion. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but that of love, that of power, and of a sound mind. Because if you don't do it, nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to make sure you pay attention to what you are thinking. Because as you think, so you are going to become. If you think thoughts of failure, you are going to fail. And it won't be God's fault. If you think thoughts of fear, fear will captivate you. It won't be God's fault. That's why God says, think on what I said you should think on. But if you disobey God, that's your choice. Think on the things that God has said in His word. You are more than a conqueror through God who has loved you. You are more than a conqueror through God who has loved you. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to Romans 5 and we're going to use that to pray. I don't know your needs here this morning, but I know God knows. And God keeps truth forever. If you will simply agree with Him on the basis of His word and choose to expect God to perform His word, I guarantee you, your expectation will never be disappointed. Romans chapter 8. From verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. I want you to reflect on those two verses of scripture in the light of your need this morning. This is the truth that you want to think upon rather than your trouble. Rather than the need. And in thinking upon the truth that God who did not spare Jesus Christ, God who loved you so much that He sacrificed His Son for you. If God would go to that extent of sacrificing His Son for you, how then would He not help you with the small need you have now compared to the eternal need that God already took care of in the sacrifice of His Son for you? That's what the Bible is challenging us with here this morning. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? As long as your need is righteous, as long as your need is in line with the promises of God, and you can find what the word of God says about that need, God will give that promise to you as a fulfillment and turn your situation around and get glory for Himself and give you fullness of joy. You just believe Him. You just believe Him. And you also now begin to say concerning that need what the word of God says. God is for me. Therefore, need, you cannot remain in my life. The truth of God is what will remain in my life. I say to you, trouble, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am free in Jesus' name. So you go ahead and talk along those lines. Whatsoever is contrary to God's promises in your life, say to that thing, God is for me. God is for me. You cannot be against me. I resist you in Jesus' name. I overcome you by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed for me, because God did not spare Jesus, He shed His blood for me to have liberty from everything under the curse of the law. Therefore, I'm free from sickness. I'm free from disease. I'm free from poverty. I'm free from untimely death. I will live long. I will not die a sudden death. No, 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 no. The number of my days I will fulfill. Bible says, don't be afraid of sudden death. Don't talk like the people of the world. Say, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, well, you better say, I know what my tomorrow holds. Jesus is my tomorrow. Because he lives, I live also. See, we have to begin to speak like God speaks in his word. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we then say to these things? What are you saying to your problem? Are you saying what the people of the world are saying? Or are you saying the truth which is in God's word? So go ahead and say to that problem this morning, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I'm free from you. Call the problem by name and say, you have no place in my life. Sickness, you have no place in my life. Affliction, you have no place in my life. Confusion, you have no place in my life. Lack, you have no place in my life. Poverty, you have no place in my life. Spiritual death, you have no place in my life. Fear, you have no place in my life. I am free in Jesus' name. I'm free from you. I'm free indeed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, katronos te peregiando. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we bless you. We bless you, we bless you. That you are the God who keeps truth forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. You know the needs in everyone's life. As you help each one of us to choose to believe your truth and to choose to pray according to your truth and to choose to praise and magnify your truth above our troubles and to choose to think upon your truth rather than our problems. I thank you for giving victory to each and everyone and testimony to the praise and glory of your name. For you are still the God who turns the captivity of your people around. You are still the God who knows how to make everything work together for good. To them that love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Thank you for showing yourself strong in the behalf of everyone here this morning and getting the glory for yourself. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. I want to turn to one or two people and say, thank God. He keeps truth forever. And I have chosen to live by the truth. Therefore, God will keep me in all areas of my life, all my days here on earth. I have no fear of tomorrow. I'm not worried about anything. Because God who keeps me neither slumbers nor sleep. Amen. Amen. God bless you.